Okay, before anything else amazing gets said, let's start the show.
Perfect.
Hello and welcome. I'll start again. Hello and welcome to Defend Your Ship. I am your host, Stevie.
And I'm Raina.
And we are here to talk about ships and porn and a bunch of other stuff. And our guest today is America Online at AOL.com.
Hello. Hi. Thank you so much for letting me be here to talk about ships with you.
We are delighted yes. to have you, especially because I hear that you brought us like an extra special snack.
I brought you a beautiful treat from my soul for both of you.
We love soul treats. We love them. So before we dive into the main course here, let's go through and just catch up with each other. Let's just talk about what we've been into this week. Raina, what are you into this week?
So many things. I feel like I say that every week, but it's true.
I think you do. I think we should make a supercut of that if we have any diehard fans. Wink, wink.
So today specifically, America actually made me an emoji. So yesterday was the 25th anniversary of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
The 20 what?
Which
the
25th.
The 25th?
The 25th. Okay. The 25th. And on her Discord, AOL is doing Emojitober.
Oh my god.
Which basically means she makes an emoji a day, and I requested a Catboy Karu as my gift for Ava's 25th anniversary, and she delivered.
That's amazing.
You can see it on my Instagram stories right now.
Wow. First of all, wow. That's amazing.
Pure talent. That's me, yeah.
Yeah. I am just, you are a gift that keeps on giving. I am extremely, extremely impressed with you.
Which I realize by the time this is actually released won't be in my Instagram stories anymore, but I can put it on our Twitter.
Perfect. Yeah, I think
because I have the picture.
Perfect. I'll send you the beautiful high-res glossy JPEG of that. Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
And the second thing that I am into today is a book that I accidentally sent to my mother and then retrieved.
Oh no.
Accidentally. Okay.
Accidentally. It's called for context, I've been meaning to read this book, and my billing address is my mother's address in Westchester. So I accidentally switched the two.
Oh dear.
And it went to her house instead of my apartment in Brooklyn. And the name of the book is called Dead Blondes and Bad Mothers, Monstrosity, Patriarchy, and the Fear of Female Power.
Wow.
By Sadie Doyle. And I came to this book originally because I sort of knew of it as like a nonfiction book about murder and feminism, but that's really only like a quarter of the book. It's more like just exploring the myth of womanhood and why it is considered monstrous.
Okay.
So like it looks at everything from like mythology to fiction to like true crime stories. And it's split into three parts called Daughter, Wife, and Mother. And it basically looks at these different roles and how patriarchy through the ages has made, like, not necessarily women in the biological sense, because it also talks about, like, transness and non-binariness, but, like, women as a mythological figure that has been othered and made a monster to uphold patriarchy.
Okay, that sounds amazing, and I can see why you maybe wouldn't want your mom to get that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see that going well.
But I have like 50 pages left, and I've like, I got it like 2 days ago, and it is a very, very good and very easy read, and I highly recommend.
That is amazing. So. Nice, very nice. So, America Online, what are you into this week?
So, I am getting back into Persona 5 again. I've beaten the game multiple times. I have a Persona 5 tattoo, but I decided finally to watch the anime, and I'm just reeling in it. Like, I love it. It feels like I'm back with my friends again. My fictional boyfriends. It's a good time. So that's
awesome.
Yeah.
I remember trying to play through one of those. I'm not a big gamer, so it didn't stick, but I remember those games being huge when I was in college.
Oh yeah. I feel like I convinced Reyna to play the fifth one very, very recently. I'm like, it's going to be good. It's like a visual novel. You just punch a little bit and then it's just all dialogue.
I mean, so I didn't actually play it. I've been looking, I've literally been following it on YouTube.
Amazing. God bless YouTube. It's really there for us.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like 100 episodes in and it's still not over. No, I'm 130 episodes.
That sounds right. This game is 100 hours. Like, this is the quarantine game.
Every time I think it's over, it's not over.
Like, you
just like quarantine. That's amazing.
Just like quarantine, exactly.
And yeah, I have a lot of feelings about it. It's a time. I might read fan fiction about it once I'm done with it. Ooh, who knows?
I can't wait. I can't wait. I would love to hear that discussion.
So, like, I think with Persona, it's, like, the same feel I get with, like, other animes, with, like, certain animes where it's, like, oh, I don't ship any one couple. It's just kind of, like, I all ship them together.
They're all, like,
that's on brand for you.
Yeah. They're, like, a Katamari of just, like, relationships where you just keep just...
Yes!
Just rolling them up into a big polyamorous ball.
And exactly! And it's not, like, oh, I necessarily want them to have an orgy. It's just that, like, I don't see them as, like, I see all the little, like, different relationships forming. And, like, I'm just like, why can't they all just be queer and poly together?
Yeah, come on, Atlas. Get with it.
And, like, like, have all their own, like, little, like, couplings. And they're all different and all cute, but they can all exist at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Why not?
I realize this is like peak Reyna feelings on Phantom.
I mean, if we're like, you know, however many minutes into this podcast and you haven't brought up how important polyamory is, I would be worried.
What are you into this week, Stevie?
Gosh, what on that am note. I into? I haven't been into anything new lately is the problem. I've just been kind of ranting about all of the like gay literature I've read recently. And I just watched like the whole miniseries of Brideshead Revisited. I just read Maurice for the first time. So I've kind of just been reeling in like lit gay stuff. Like, I'm like, I don't know that there's like a fandom for this. Like, what am I gonna just be like?
Oh, there's definitely a fandom for this.
I mean, I'm sure that there is.
It totally exists. Just look at the literature section of AO3. You'll probably find something.
Yeah, that's probably true. I've never been in fandom for something older than Star Trek. Although, you know what? I guess technically Maurice was published later than Star Trek, so I still wouldn't be in fandom for something earlier than Star Trek. So That's an interesting thought.
Live your life, live laugh, your dreams. Love,
yes.
Live, laugh, love, yes. That's, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that's exactly what I think of when it comes to fandom. Just live, laugh, love.
Yeah, yeah. Just like,
I want, like, I want the fandom equivalent of that somehow. Like, I don't know what live, laugh, love would be in fandom terms, or at least want some kind of very fanish depiction of that. Just like, I don't know, to like a blonde and a brunette just in flagrante with that written over them.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, yeah, hey. Just like Inuyasha and Sesshomaru just like kissing and an explosion that says live, laugh, love behind it. Like, that's what, wow. I see. Yeah, powerful imagery.
Wow.
We also both watched the new Yashahime, the first episode of Yashahime, and there were feelings.
There were feelings?
There were a lot of feelings.
So it's feelings worthy.
There were feelings. Okay. It's feelings worthy.
Good to know.
But like feelings were like, they still haven't really gotten into the meat of it, but it's feelings worthy because it's like, oh my God, I'm 14 again and like thirsting over the same character.
It's wild to be like, oh wow, I'm a 28-year-old woman and I am like thirsty as fuck for this anime boy that I had a crush on when I was 14. What, wow. I haven't grown up at all. I'm never gonna be an adult. Like,
I mean, listen, this just goes to show that we had great taste in anime boys. Like, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
That's, thank you for that reaffirmment. Yeah. Thank you. You're right.
Yeah, you are a gourmet anime boy connoisseur.
That's the nicest
and
thing I've heard.
That's going on a t-shirt too. Gourmet anime boy connoisseur.
I love that.
I mean, yeah, like, this has prompted me to go back to Inuyasha fanfiction and just, like just look at what I've missed in the past, like, 14 years.
I remember reading, like, a fanfiction for Inuyasha and Kagome that was about as long as the series.
Of course.
Just never
ended. Oh, like, there are some fucking novels, yeah. Like, there are some fucking ridiculous epics on AO3 that I don't even want to touch because I'm like, I don't have time for that.
I mean, if quarantine keeps happening, I'm going to just like bust it in. My friend, at the beginning of quarantine, she started One Piece and she's,
oh no,
she's caught up. Oof. She's caught up. She's caught up.
I think I'm like, that's, I think I'm like maybe, I think I'm like 50 or 60 chapters behind, like, at this point, because like, I occasionally go back to it.
That's like the center of the Tootsie Roll Pop of anime. Like, how many days of quarantine does it take to get caught up in One Piece? Apparently,
no. Like, months. I specifically remember in undergrad, a professor getting upset because he taught like epic literature, and like apparently one of his assignments was to like find a modern day epic. And he was disgusted that somebody decided to do their research on One
Piece.
Well,
yeah.
Because he was like, oh, well, it's a comic. And I'm like,
yes,
bro,
and
this has been going on since, like, 1997.
Oh,
like, literally, the man, like, Eiichiro Oda has said, oh, well, I'm about 80% done at this point.
No.
After, like, 23 years. After 23 years, he's like, I'm 80% done. And it's like, this man has been working on this one series for 23 years. How is that not an epic?
I mean, that's job security right there. I wish I had that.
Yeah, same. I'm just like, to be guaranteed to write on one piece of fiction for 23 years.
That's why it's called One Piece.
Exactly. He knew.
Every week, that man just pulls out something. Like, God damn it.
Wow. Well, I...
How is that not our modern odyssey?
It is, though. And I think comics in general, those are the modern epics. I don't know what that professor was on about. Like, he clearly has,
I mean,
no
he
concept.
Was
jealous.
Jealous.
He was a straight white man, so what
pure
else
jealousy.
Do we expect?
Yeah. That's about what I expect. So speaking of white boys, we have some ships to talk about.
Yes.
Raina, do you want to lead us on this one?
Yes. So usually what we do is we start by saying, how exactly did you get into fandom?
So how did I get into fandom was basically one late night on Adult Swim that turned into like Toonami, that like late night thing they did. I watched anime for the first time ever, and it kind of, Cowboy Bebop was like my first official anime, and that just kind of ruined me of getting into like fandoms. And then I was like, oh, there is like a convention that happens around where I live, and I went to it with my friends, and I was like, oh right, this can get horny. And then I was like,
oh yeah.
And that's where I was just like, oh. Like, I went through the artist alley and like saw like pairings of people kissing. I was like, oh. High school me was like, whoa, okay, well, here's a new alley to go through.
Oh yes.
Your origin story is very, very similar to mine. Yeah, except I was like much younger. I found fanfic on the internet unexpectedly, and my life was forever changed. Also, I would sneak down at 2 a.m. to watch Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, that was a big part of like growing up, was like sneaking, like staying up late to watch like the Cowboy Bebop and like Witch Hunter Robin and all those. Yeah.
Ah. My soul. So, going from that to today's topic, what ship are you here to talk about, AOL?
I am here to talk about a very important, I think it is misrepresented. I think there's not enough fan fiction of this, but it is a very, very big relationship, in my opinion, of Spider-Man and J. Jonah Jameson.
I love how fast you just spit out J. Jonah Jameson. Just to like, you really lead in there, Spider-Man and J. Jonah Jameson. Like, you don't even have time to cut through or contradict. Like, this is happening.
It's happening.
You have to hear this. I love it.
It's happening. They're kissing. Just get over it.
They're kissing. Just get over it. Another t-shirt.
Exactly.
So how did you start shipping Spider-Man and J. Jonah Jameson?
Well, so I got into this relationship because I first started to do a burlesque act as J. Jonah Jameson, and his intense lust of Spider-Man and demanding pictures of Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, he always wants his photos. Okay. Yeah. Ulterior motives.
Yeah, so he
the Spanko to Spanko.
He's got that intense desire for photos of Spider-Man. And you know, you have to succumb to that lust. And I just thought it was a very interesting dynamic because I feel that J. Jonah Jameson is the ultimate rival to Spider-Man in that universe. And
ooh.
Yeah. So basically J. Jonah Jameson and Spider-Man are complete, well, Peter Parker / Spider-Man. I revealed this identity on this podcast.
Oh god.
I know.
All right, I'll bleep it.
I feel like that's way, way past spoiler territory. If you don't know this, like, where have you been in American culture in the past several days?
I'm like, I'm talking about these two people kissing, and I say Peter Parker, no one's gonna know what I'm talking about. They're gonna be like, what's happening?
The photographer?
That guy? It was him. But no, I think that they're complete opposites because J. Jonah Jameson is like an old, rich, bitter man who has power and affluence and recognition, while Peter Parker is a poor, broke, out of college student who can barely make his bills and doesn't get the recognition for all the heroic acts that he does. So they both have something that they want in each other of like different attributes, like of Spider-Man's heroic things for J. Jonah Jameson, and for Peter Parker, Spider-Man, it's the more of the recognition affluence that J. Jonah Jameson receives.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And
I like where this is going.
I'm absolutely here for this dynamic. This seems like the kind of dynamic I would be into, and the kind of like weird power differential that I would be into.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know why I didn't ever think of this.
I particularly, in my own like connoisseuring of like fan fiction, I tend to like a lot of more rival fandoms that turn into pairings. Mm-hmm. So that fits this perfectly, in my opinion.
Yes, it does.
And there's a piece of one of the comics that is basically a spoof on My Dinner of Andre, where it's a Spider-Man comic where Spider-Man and J. Jonah Jameson sit down to have a meal together. So basically, this is a legit comic where it is in J. Jonah Jameson's apartment, where it is after he's lost his job at the Daily Bugle. And basically, he's lost everything at this point. Like, his daughter has been killed. His wife has died twice. His astronaut son has been turned into a werewolf. Like,
what? Okay. 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 Fine. All right. All right.
Yeah. Just roll with it.
And the comics writers were like, wow, we've really taken everything from this man. I guess the least we can do is draw him some dinner.
Exactly. Just give him a dinner, Spider-Man. But so J. Jonah Jameson feels that Spider-Man has done nothing to protect him from all the tragedies in his life. And he's taking out for the past how many years of his hatred of Spider-Man on him because of this, because he's never felt fully protected by him. And this basically ends in like J. Jonah having like a breakdown over this, and Spider-Man takes off his mask to reveal that he's Peter Parker. Cool. To J. Jonah. And it's like a very, very, it feels like straight out like a fan fiction where you're like, okay, they're gonna kiss now. Like,
ow.
Where it's like this moment of pure vulnerability. And J. Jonah is one of the only few people, I think two or three people, that Peter Parker has ever unmasked himself to reveal who he is to this person. So he has this very deep sense of like trust and care for him from the very start. Mm-hmm. So like,
yeah, that's like a friends and family only special.
Exactly. Like if I had a secret identity, I wouldn't like come into like my work and like take off my mask and show it to my boss. Like, like, surprise. It was me all along. But it seems like they have a very deep trust. And after this knowledge, J. Jonah gets interrogated by multiple villains, like even the Red Goblin, where he's like, I'm not gonna tell you shit about who Spider-Man is. So he's like, he counts like a ride or die kind of guy.
So this isn't like an AU situation. This is like
canon. This is canon.
If
they don't kiss, but this is all canon, like to the comics. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Okay. Because usually our question is like, is this a tinfoil hat situation, like where you have to squint
A tinfoil hat situation, like, could also be like, wow, this is so blatant, it must be real. Like the authors intended for me to see this and read between the lines, and like they were leaving these subtextual crumbs for me to gobble up. That kind of tin. There's like two different kinds of tin hats. Like one of them is like, I believe this is there even when I don't see textual representation. And the other one is like, this is exclusively textual representation. I am certainly one of the latter types, but.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it is very blatant of like, this is happening. This is what we're trying to convey. Maybe not like a love lust relationship, but it is a deep like sense of caring for each other, for both of them, who have lost a lot, even though I think J. Jonah has technically lost more than Spider-Man has.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I mean, Spider-Man still has his job, so.
Yeah, Spider-Man isn't like a sad boy blogger like J. Jonah is now.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, no.
Like in the new game, J. Jonah Jameson is like a Breitbart kind of like blogger. And like he's like making these podcasts about how like Spider-Man is like the fucking worst.
Oh, my God. That's an interesting take.
Yeah, I don't particularly like that version of J. Jonah, but. That's the direction they're going in, so.
All right. Breitbart, yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
But is there an incarnation of the two of them that you like together best? Is it the My Dinner with Andre sort incarnations?
Yes, that's my favorite, where it is just, like, a huge moment of vulnerability for both of them who are in these situations, kind of asking for questions of the other. Like, Spider-Man's like, hey, why did you fund all these things that were meant to murder me? And yeah, that's the part where why Spider-Man's there, because J. Jonah funded the villain Scorpion to be like to kill Spider-Man. And
wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, basically,
why didn't you protect me? Well, you were gonna fund a villain to kill me.
Exactly. So they both had their issues with each other of why they hate each other, but they also love each other at the core.
Huh.
Yeah. Interesting.
Love it. It's got layers.
Interesting. So have you experienced any like discourse or like anti sort of feeling for this ship?
Yes. So like when I first like describe the ship, everyone's just kind of like, okay, you're just being like a jackass. You just want to watch a man with a mustache kiss a guy dressed up in a Zentai suit. And the answer is I do.
I see no problems here. I see no errors.
Yeah. Just let him kiss. And it feels like a very, very shallow fandom at the surface of it. But there is a lot of things that make it so solid into the actual canon of like the Spider universe that makes it very interesting, and J. Jonah one of the most important characters in the entire Spider-Man series because of it.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, I feel like with relationships like this, where lovely. Like in the movies now, they've leaned really hard onto in a lot of the movies for Spider-Man, they lean really hard into like teenage Spider-Man as the character. And I know that there's always a lot of controversy when a character that is seen as a teenager is shipped with someone who is like a mature adult character, even though by the moment that you're referencing in the comics, Spider-Man would be a total adult.
He is a definite adult. I don't condone like minor relationships with adults. That's not my thing.
Hopefully not any of our thing. Yeah. In fandom, it's always weird to like be in that space and have to endure the controversy when you're like, okay, that's not even what I'm saying, first of all, and second of all, it's fan fiction.
I was just gonna say, it's also like sort of interesting because like I feel like unlike other superheroes, Spider-Man has this dichotomy of like people not really feeling like comfortable with him as an adult. Like, he's technically existed since the 60s, and, like, I know that, like, at various points, like, people recognize him best as, like, when he's a teenager, and he's, like, in his early 20s, and, like, they tried to retcon his relationship with Mary Jane to get more, like, people interested in reading the comic. Like, they don't really know what to do with Spider-Man when he is a full-fledged adult. like the whole point of Miles Morales becoming the new Spider-Man in the Ultimate Verse is because Spider-Man dies and they need somebody else to take over. Like, they're like, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to think about Spider-Man, like people like Spider-Man when he's young and unsure and like isn't at his like full capacity.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that, where it feels like he has an age cap where Spider-Man can never be over 22. Same with like anime protagonists where they cannot be over 25.
Yeah. Well, that was something I loved about Into the Spider-Verse, getting to see just like haggard fucking Peter Parker.
Oh my God, really, Peter J. Parker. Me. Yes.
He was the first person, when you said Spider-Man and J. Jonah Jameson, the first thing I thought about was haggard Peter Parker from Into the Spider-Verse. That was the first thing I was like, I would pay money, like cash money to watch that relationship.
Yo, hard same. Like that's the age appropriateness that I want and this dynamic.
You know what I think I would love? I think I would love something that was like a Sleepless in Seattle type AU where with like J. Jonah Jameson doing all of this like secret creepy investigation on Peter Parker and like flying across the country to go creep on him at his houseboat.
Oh my God. I need to make some edits to this fanfic.
That's right. You can make this happen for us because you're a miracle worker who writes porn for the podcast you're going to be on.
Exactly. Any podcast I'm on, I will write you porn.
That is amazing. And this is the secret treat we spoke of earlier, that there is fan fiction custom made, tailor made for this exact purpose.
For this very exact purpose. When you're going to be on a podcast that talks about pairings, you might as well just bring out the guns.
We are happy to like link to that in the show notes 100%. And if you would like to like do a reading or anything or show off, like by all means.
Yeah, like, I can read this beautiful piece of literature for you. I feel like that's the only way to get
done. I'm so here for it.
Yeah, so fun fact about this, I made a couple people read this and they were just like, interesting.
what? Well, that's certainly a reaction.
Yeah. I wanted to make them feel evoked and provoked. So
I'm sure you probably did. I feel like I trust you already.
Perfect. Do you want me to read it now? Or
I think this is a good time. Raina, what do you say? Are we ready for this?
I am ready to hear some.
Okay.
I'm wonderful. Ready to hear some fan Beautiful. Fiction.
So I titled this Into the Spider Hole.
Oh, yes. That's a already challenging concept.
Yeah. I am here to challenge you. All right. It was an early morning at the Daily Bugle. Editor-in-Chief J. Jonah Jameson was already hard at work and preparing for a busy day. It had been months now since Spider-Man had made his last public appearance after stopping the Green Goblin. J. Jonah had been feeling a void in the absence of his tight, Zentai-suited menace. He started to daydream of the outline around Spider-Man's bulge and what it would look like in gray sweatpants.
Wow!
All the guns for you. J. Jonah started to scribble the words Daily Bulge on a piece of paper. Before he could realize it, his body started to draw the shapes of what lies underneath the Spidey suit. J. Jonah's body starts to tighten up and become stiff. All he could think about was that sweet spider tick as he started to imagine being engulfed in Spidey's dick webs. Peter Parker barged into his office.
What?
This is paragraph two.
That is a bold. This is so bold right off the bat.
I mean,
this is just dick webs. Dick webs.
I was dick so webs. Proud of myself. I wrote the words dick webs and I got up from my computer and I was like, it's 2020. How did I get here?
Oh my god.
I was like, that's
Dick Webb's 2020.
Ended it though. Dick Webb's 2020. I'd vote for him.
Yeah, yeah. Vote for Dick Webb's in your local election. Great policies. Okay. All right. Parker, you can't come inside. I mean here. Sir.
Good joke.
Thank you. Sir, I need advance. I'm running way behind on this month's rent. I need money fast, Peter said. J. Jonas says, salivating. Do you have any more pictures of Spider-Man? I'm freshly out, but he's been out of the public eye, sir. But I'll see what I can swing, Parker says winkingly.
Winkingly? Oh, that is like such prime fan fiction gold. Like that was clever. That was good. That was a good one.
Thank you. To be fair, most fan fiction, you just have to describe everything. Just describe everything and it'll work.
Oh, for sure.
The
Adverb
idea.
Everything.
Everything needs, yeah. The idea of a new tantalizing Spider-Man pics excited J. Jonah Jameson. He thought about the possibility of seeing that tight ass swing across Manhattan once more. It excited him greatly, but he wanted even more than that. He slammed his fist on the desk to quell his raging boner.
Had that work out for him?
Didn't work out. He caught his breath and pulled a long, hard cigar from his desk and gave it a lick before lighting it. Wait, Parker. I'll pay you your salary today if you get me a private meeting with Spider-Man. I can probably get an hour alone with him at the location of his choice, Parker said. J. Jonah gleefully smiled at this news and awaited Parker's instructions for a meeting that evening. J. Jonah took the subway out to Gowanus to meet the...
Gowanus.
I love how you specify Gowanus.
It's New York Gowanus City.
I remember going to Gowanus, like, on purpose. Ugh.
I've been to Gowanus in the past week.
No one
or so,
goes to Gowanus unless you have to go there on purpose. Like, but it's New York City. You gotta have locations.
Beautiful.
You really do. Or the New Yorkers will like critique you. They really will.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I forgot to add. He took the Q train out to Gowanus. I don't think the Q train.
No, it's authentic.
Actually, I don't think the Q train. No, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. Don't
the Q train doesn't.
I thought that was a joke.
Oh, the F train. Sorry, or the B train. F train. Let's say the F train. Don't at me. Don't at me.
The F train is good. For, like that's funny though. It's the F train.
It's the F train. It's the fuck train. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
J. Jonah took the F train out to Gowanus to meet the webmaster at a secluded office by the water.
Uh-huh.
He timidly knocked on the office door before realizing the door was unlocked. Before his very eyes, he could not believe what he saw. It was Spider-Man standing there in the flesh, completely naked besides his mask.
What? Oh, yes.
In his hands, he held two things. One hand held an economy-sized bottle of KY jelly.
It's about as much as you'd need, yeah.
I mean, Parker's poor, so you have to buy the economy size.
Yeah. No, that's a good character detail. I think you're really getting to the heart of the matter.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I'm really painting a good picture.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, a cheap costume version of a Spider-Man mask. J. Jonah's heart skipped a beat at this fantastical sight. Spider-Man? Is that really you? Shoot a web to prove it is, and not some hunk in a mask, J. Jonah demanded.
Smart. That's smart, because that was my first thought, too. I was like, ooh, I wonder. Ooh.
Yeah, how are you gonna know?
Yeah.
Spider-Man took his hard dick and shot a small web at J. Jonah's face, landing firmly.
Oh my god.
Landing firmly on his pus-broom mustache. J. J. Jonah licked it off excitingly.
Woo!
J. Jonah blushingly said, I see you are all man and menace. Catch me in your dirty web, you criminal.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Spider-Man threw the extra mask to J. Jonah and demanded he put it on. Spider-Man and J. Jonah started to intertwine in an embrace. Spider-Man stroked J. Jonah's flat top haircut gently. The two passionately kissed through the Spider-Man masks. Then they got then they got down to business. J. Jonah slipping his dick into Spider-Man's tight, quivering spider hole.
Yes! There's the title! Yes!
Cut to title. J. Jonah started to pound Spider-Man, screaming, take that, you menace! The two kept going to pound town, and then J. Jonah accidentally yells, Parker! Spider-Man takes off to...
Oh no.
Spider-Man takes off his mask to reveal that he is Peter Parker and seductively says, it's time for your BJ Jonah Jameson and starts.
Yes!
And starts to suck off J. Jonah. The camera pans up to the sky where Stan Lee is looking down, producing a single tear. While next to him, Steve Ditko is objectively making out with Ayn Rand. The end.
Oh my fucking god!
What a twist! Thank you. Thank you for letting me on your podcast.
I am deceased. I am dead.
Thank us! Thank you! Thank you! That's some of the best writing ever.
I have...
Yeah, it's okay.
I have no words.
It's okay to have no words. I spoke to my soul yesterday and wrote this poetry. So
I love how you also fit like every fanfic trope.
You got a crown.
It was amazing. I'm trying to think of what my favorite part was, and I don't know, but like you really had me like entirely. I was enraptured.
Good. That's the vibe that I want, is just to
yeah.
Just you don't know where this is going. Like
it was great. I didn't. It was amazing. It was amazing. It's everything I could have asked for. Flat top haircut. Like yeah. This might be one of the greatest things to happen on this podcast since the like 13-minute recap of the last Twilight movie.
What?
I think this is probably gonna top that.
Oh my god, I feel blessed.
Listen to our Christmas episode and you will understand.
Because I've only seen the last Twilight movie. So
wow.
Yeah.
That must have been a trip.
Yeah, I watched Dakota Fanning throw a baby into the fire and I'd laugh my ass off and had no idea what was happening.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow, well, thank you so much for that. Yeah.
Yes.
So now that we have experienced that, America Online at AOL.com.
What have you learned from this ship?
Well, from this ship.
Personally.
Kind of understanding where basically someone you don't agree with comes from and why maybe you might be on the same page, but you just have to see past your differences.
Yeah. And how, like, sex can be a factor in that sometimes.
Sometimes you just gotta fuck your enemy.
Or maybe it's the only factor. Yeah, sometimes you just have to fuck them. That's a lofty goal, and I respect that.
Exactly. But I've seen a meme out there where basically Peter Parker is essentially selling pictures of Spider-Man is like his version of OnlyFans.
I mean, yeah, like you could say that Peter Parker is his own camboy.
Yeah, he's making it work. Like I respect him so much for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay rent somehow.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, because he doesn't make any money being a hero.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
compared to like the other heroes, I guess.
Yeah.
He really should like trademark his image or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Copyright Spider-Man. I think that.
Yeah. I guess you couldn't do that though, unless you like had he'd have to open up like some kind of a shell corporation to register the name under to keep himself anonymous or something.
Now I'm
like,
just
no, I'm like really stuck on the logistics here. Sorry, like, wow, I wonder continue. How you go about that. I really doubt that me or Peter Parker could figure that out.
But like, so now I'm just imagining like, so there's a trope that's new, sort of new to fan fiction about like, well, mostly in the Miraculous Ladybug fandom,
that
because that's one of
second.
The
Welcome
fandoms
back,
that
Miraculous
I've been
Ladybug
into
fandom.
Through quarantine. That bringing it back, but there's a trope of like in Miraculous Ladybug fanfic right now of basically being a cam person that's pretending to be your superhero identity to make money, but people not realizing it's actually you and thinking it's just some person
that's
in a costume
and
pretending
a really good
to
idea,
be you.
Frankly.
And now I'm just imagining Peter Parker taking his Spider-Man costume and camboying and people not realizing
honestly,
that it's actually
that's
Spider-Man.
That's a good plot point. Like that,
it is.
That feels pretty real. Like I'm trying to think about how non-corrupt superheroes actually live, because usually they're either super wealthy to begin with or yeah that's basically it, because
or they're aliens and they like,
or they're a god,
they don't care about capitalism and human ways. Yeah, or they're gods. So it's like, yeah, I could see Peter Parker, especially since he lives in Queens, like being like, well, fuck, guess I have to make rent somehow.
I would support Peter Parker camming and so much. Peter, if you're out there, we love
real life Peter Parker. We're talking to you.
Real life, yeah.
You're out there. Sorry for telling everybody who you are.
Sorry.
Usually at the end of this podcast, we ask, like, what would you want to see, like, fandom-wise from the fandom about this ship?
Yeah,
but
I
feel
like
we just made our own AU.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the fandom of this
podcast.
It's just me. Like, I just want to convert people into it, to be like, give it a chance. Like, I know it seems silly, but, like, just think about it a little bit longer. And you go, yeah, that makes sense to me now.
It does. It does make sense to me entirely.
I mean, it can't. It's no more ridiculous than like their like MJ and Peter's marriage being sold to the devil. So like,
yeah,
think
exactly.
About where we're at.
That's more or less where we're at is just like J. Jonah Jameson and Spider-Man are a likely couple, even though, okay, I forgot to bring up one important fact that I didn't mention in the fan fiction. In one of the universes, Aunt May marries J. Jonah Jameson's dad. So they have like a weird stepbrother ship that I haven't mentioned. So just put that on your cap. Just think about that.
Wow, that's like that's the movie Stepbrothers. That's like that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah, it's like Stepbrothers. I thought you were gonna say Cruel Intentions, but
oh god. Yeah. I wasn't, but now I'm curious.
Yeah,
about the possibilities.
Yeah, endless possibilities.
But wait, who in that situation, who would be Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Oh
I mean, you can just write the fan fiction and then redux it and be like, nah, here we go. Let's do it again the other way.
Yeah, yeah. Let the tables have turned. So
reverse, crisscross.
Exactly. Yeah. This is my fandom. I'm here to build it up. So thank you for the idea of content.
Absolutely.
I mean, I feel like if I went on AO3 right now, we would definitely find
J. Jonah
Jameson and Spider-Man content. I feel like. I like I mean, everything is weird on, well, not everything is weird on AO3, but you'll find a
no,
lot
one of the most
weird
popular
things on
ones on
AO3.
there is J. Jonah Jameson getting turned into a fly and Spider-Man eating him.
That's that hits different.
It doesn't hit different. It hits different. It doesn't. It's not the direction I want to go into, but it's
okay,
someone's direction.
So I tried to look up how many. Maybe I'm not looking in the right place, but I found 3 fan fictions for J. Jonah Jameson and Peter Parker, and I feel like that's too small a number. Let me try it again.
Did
let me
you
try
look
again.
At the relationship
fast,
tag?
Now I'm like, maybe I Googled it too fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It says, like, that can't be right. That can't be right. Okay. Where's the relationship tag?
I don't know if there is a relationship tag for the two of them. Is what I'm just what I'm discovering is that this might be extremely
interesting.
Niche.
I think I did it 22, it looks like.
22?
Spider-Man.
Okay.
But that doesn't seem. Yeah. 50 Shades 22. Of Peter
okay.
and Wade. Whoa, what? It's out there. Thank you, Tobo, for writing that.
Well, this has been delightful and educational and just a general gift all around. And this is definitely a ship that I'm going to explore more because I have to know. I have to know more.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. The truth is out there.
The truth is out there. The truth is out there. That would be another really great AU.
Have you done a Mulder and Scully?
We have not. We have not.
That seems, yeah. Go get it.
Gotta get it. If anyone wants to come on this podcast and talk about X-Files, please hit us up at defendyourship@gmail.com or on Twitter at defendyourship. Plug. America Online, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I am currently streaming on Twitch. So if you look up my name, AmericaOnline@AOL.com, super easy and lengthy. You can find me there streaming on Twitch. So talking about Spider-Man and playing video games.
Plug in the
also,
merch
we
shop
now
again.
Have a merch
we are
Defend
Your Ship on Redbubble. We have 1 t-shirt so far and a few more to come because I think that there was some really good. I mean, Dick Webb 2020 definitely needs to be a t-shirt. So
absolutely.
Yeah, wouldn't you just love to see people walking around with that on their chests? God,
I would cry.
The truth is out there, and it's Dick Webb in your face. It's 2020.